glad you could be with us here on this. Well, it's a blue Monday. It's a rough day, rough game for the Broncos yesterday. Joining me now, starting things off on a Monday, Zach Stevens of DNVR, our Broncos insider. Zach, my friend, this was a really weird game. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it. I liked the defense for the most part, but everything else surrounding the defense just seemed to go wrong.
Yeah, offense was terrible, special teams was terrible, and you can't afford any mistakes when you play the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl champs, and the Broncos just continued to shoot themselves in the foot. And it started with the quarterback. Drew Lock was not good yesterday. 2 weeks ago against the Patriots, he played much better than his stat line. Yesterday, a similar stat line as 2 weeks ago, he did not play a lick better than his stat line.
And this is, of course, this is that season, right, Zach? I mean, this is supposed to kind of be Drew Lock's testing year, I suppose, if you want to call it that. And obviously, a lot of it, he's been hurt, so that's been tough. But so far, Zach, I mean, the Broncos are sitting at with a 2-4 record, six games in. Are we any closer to determining that? Are we feeling worse about that with Drew Lock, or is there still way too much season for us to even come close to making that determination?
There's still way too much of the season left to make that determination. And the good thing is that there is still way too much of that season left, because right now, if the season ended and when Drew Lock went down with that scare where it thought that he may have had a big knee injury at first, but it just happened to be his brace getting broken, I thought, oh no, this is the worst case scenario, because now you're not going to know what Drew Lock is. So I'm thrilled that it was just that he broke his knee brace. That was the only reason that he went back down. And so it's great that the Broncos have 10 more games, because Brady, I'm not any further in my evaluation of Drew Lock than I was at the start of this season. He's 1-2 in his three starts this year, and that's what he had going for him last year, but he was 4-1, so he had the record. He's passed the eye test in about 1.5 games to me so far. Clearly did not pass the eye test, did not pass the stats test, did not pass anything yesterday. And my biggest concern right now with Drew is the offensive production under him. This year, even when he's played well, the offense has not been scoring points. The first game against Tennessee, 14 points. Pittsburgh, he only played in a couple of snaps, so I'm not going to put that one on him. And then against the Patriots, only 18 points. And then yesterday, only 16 points. He hasn't eclipsed 20 points per game. That scares me a lot.
Yeah, and I know there's been a lot of injuries, and we've talked about that, but it's kind of at this point now, Zach, you look at the rest of the NFL, everybody's dealing with it. Good quarterbacks find a way, even when their weapons are depleted. I tell you, the next four games or so, to me, that seems like a really good stretch. We're going to find out a lot about Drew Lock, because I know the Chargers get a win, and they're looking okay, but you know, maybe that's a winnable game. At Atlanta, maybe that's winnable. Vegas, they kind of got torched by the Bucs, and then Miami. So there's four games in there, Zach, where you could revive your playoff hopes and revive kind of the hopes surrounding Drew Lock.
Yeah, you absolutely can. These next four games are huge. And, of course, it's also Drew Lock against Justin Herbert. It's Drew Lock against Matthew Stafford, who maybe in play to be the Broncos quarterback next year if things don't go right in Atlanta and they don't go right in Denver as well. So some interesting storylines there. But also with that, I think you hit it right on the head. The Broncos can turn their season around. They're still in this. I said weeks ago, if the Broncos were 2-4, they were still in it right now. Well, they're 2-4. They've made it. They're holding on to life now. You can't lose many more games and still be in it. But another thing about these next couple of games, in the Broncos' four losses, their opponents have a record of 22-4. In their two wins, their opponents have a record of 2-11. So that tells me, obviously, the Broncos can't beat the best teams in the league. That also tells me that the Broncos aren't the worst team in the league and can beat those bad teams. So what happens when they play an average team? We don't really know yet. In these next 4 weeks, the Broncos get to play some average teams. You know, Chargers maybe a little below average, Falcons a little below average, but then you get the Raiders a little above average. And so now we'll see where the Broncos are. Are the Broncos a 4-12 team, or are they a 7-9 team? We'll really know that in these next couple of weeks.
Zach, I know you got to bust out soon, so I'll go through a couple of items here with you. How about the blow up on the sidelines at the end? Shelby Harris was kind of like, I think, fed up. I felt like he was kind of at everybody at that point. How are the Broncos doing? What are they saying about the blow up on the sidelines?
You know, they're saying that they've talked about it and that they're on good terms. Shelby Harris last night tweeted that he and Vic talked about it. They're on good terms. Vic frankly said, I love what he said after the game. He said, we can't have those penalties, and that's not going to be allowed on my watch. And you know what? Vic Fangio is absolutely right. You can't have those penalties. Now, did it really matter in the grand scheme of things? Broncos, lose by 39 or they lose by 43 because that penalty cost them 4 points? No, it doesn't. What happens if that happens next week against the Chargers and you get a penalty like that? And instead of kicking the game-tying field goal, that gives the Chargers the opportunity to score a touchdown. So I love where Vic Fangio is at with that, just saying that's not going to be accepted, not backing down to that, and not apologizing. And the leaders really took a big role after the game, saying we need to keep this season on track. We have a good locker room. And I think that's their focus this week, is kind of a bigger picture view of not letting this season get off the rails.
Zach, how about the injury side of things? Philip Lindsay was having a monster game in that first half, and then he goes down. That's the one on everybody's mind today.
Yep, and Philip Lindsay with a concussion yesterday. We'll find out a little more later today, but obviously, like you said, he was huge, not just because if he was averaging a first down every time he touched the ball, but then his replacement, Melvin Gordon, comes in and has two fumbles. It's been a brutal couple weeks for him. A lot of that self-inflicted, of course, not taking anything away there. But now if you're without Philip Lindsay to play the Chargers, now even more is on Drew Locke's shoulders. And Drew Locke admitted after the game that he's been pressing this season, and clearly that hasn't worked out. So Drew Locke needs to not press, and if he doesn't have his best running back on the field, that may lead him to pressing more. So I think this Philip Lindsay injury has huge ramifications, not just for the running game, but for Drew Locke as well. And we did just find out some unfortunate news: Brandon Cristal breaking it first, and Mike Purcell will be out this for the remainder of the season, dealing with a Lisfranc injury. Just a brutal injury. And for a guy who was having a great year with the Broncos, of course, the Broncos just gave him a 3-year extension as well. So this is something that, with Lisfranc, those are brutal. That could bleed into next year, which you hate to say.
Oh, man. Bad news just gets a little bit worse today for Broncos country. Zach, my friend, appreciate you. What are you working on that we can check out? Obviously, I know you'll have some more aftermath, so to speak, of Broncos action.
Exactly. A lot of aftermath today, really covering all the injuries. So you can catch me on Twitter at Zach Stevens DNVR. And then, man, really looking at this Drew Locke, Justin Herbert matchup right now. It's not trending the way that Broncos fans wanted, but this is the John Elway quarterback bowl. Obviously, he really liked Drew Locke, but he really liked Justin Herbert. The Broncos were really never in a position to get him when he decided to come back to school. But it's going to be interesting to see how these two play, because Drew Locke right now, just off of last week, is not trending in the right direction. And, man, Justin Herbert looks like the truth.
No doubt about it, my friend. Zach, appreciate you hooking up with us on short notice, and we'll look out for your work later this afternoon.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, Brady.
All right, man. That's Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Excellent insider. He's going to try to get more insight coming up with Vic Fangio and company. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is: Drew Locke, the franchise quarterback for the Broncos. I'm not giving you any room here. It's yes or no. Do not give me I'm asking you to go with your gut. I want to know what your gut tells you today. I want you to dig deep, Broncos country. I don't want any of this. Well, I got to see more. Listen, if you had to predict the next four games, because I think the next four games are going to be critical. If Drew Locke fails in these next four games, which would also probably mean the Broncos fail, right? And you're going to miss out on the playoffs. It's going to seal your fate. Then he's done. I mean, that's going to get you're going to find out pretty soon. If the Broncos come out of this, what are they, 2-4? Got four games left. If they come out of this 3-7, then they're toast. They're absolutely toast. So what do you feel? Is Drew Locke the franchise quarterback for the Broncos? He was going for the home run yesterday so much. Wasn't looking underneath. Not getting a feel. It didn't seem to have much of a feel for the pocket. And again, I got to the point where when Lindsey was in there in the first half, why are you throwing it at all? Just run the ball. Gordon was running okay. He is not even close to the runner that Melvin Gordon is. And he has two fumbles. One of them, he throws it back, Statue of Liberty play, boom. And then he throws it over Drew Locke's head. This was a rough game on offense. Defensively, I mean, you gave yourself a chance. Every time the Broncos would get a stop, the Broncos' offense would squander it with a turnover or, on the special teams, you had a kick return, you fumbles like crazy. That led to field goals, but this Broncos' defense was hanging in there to the point where even late in the third, I thought, man, you still have a chance here. And then ultimately, you just couldn't overcome it. And I think the defense, mentally, you break down. You finally look at it and say, we can't keep stopping. That's the best offense in the NFL. And maybe they are the best team in the NFL. Seahawks had a battle last night against Arizona. They lose in overtime, but still I think Arizona's a really good team. But the Chiefs, hey, they did it in a lot of different ways yesterday, and sometimes that's what great teams do. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. What does your gut tell you about Drew Locke? Eastside Chris, Brady, my breakdown of the Broncos yesterday. We are the Charlie Browns, and Lucy just pulled the ball away. It's kind of what it felt like. Yeah, I'll give you that. Pillow Fight Dan. I feel like he's now played 8 total games in his NFL career, and everyone needs to. Okay. But when do you start? When do you start? Like, is he getting better or worse? Because I'll tell you right now, yesterday was worse than last week. And the last 2 games weren't very good compared to what he did last year. And again, we need to remember those, for the most part, those were against bad teams, and they didn't have a lot to play for. I think we got to be real here. What does your gut tell you? He's played 8 total games in his NFL career. You can't tell. You can tell a lot by someone after 8 games, especially I don't like the whole, he's really essentially a rookie now. No, he was in NFL practices for a full year last year. He was learning it from NFL playbooks for a full year last year. Drew Locke was not making the correct reads yesterday. When he did go deep, he was often way over the top. I know it was snowing, but you're not going to give a lot of great quarterbacks that excuse. Am I giving up on Drew Locke? I'm not. Because there's 4 games left, or 4 games in this stretch, I should say, that will define the Broncos season. If you can come out of this on the other side, more than likely that's going to mean Drew Locke has been successful. Unless your defense comes up with turnovers and pick 6 and Philip Lindsay's healthy and he's running for 157 yards. But that's the thing. I got four games. If the Broncos do not come out of this in a favorable way at the end of it, they're going to be toast for the season, and then you're going to know. That, to me, you're going to know. How much better is he going to get if he can't get it right in these next 4 games, which I believe are winnable? I have them as winnable. I'm not hitting the panic button yet. But I didn't think the Broncos would lose that badly yesterday. I didn't think Drew Locke would perform that badly. And it's also reminding me again, when will you pay Philip Lindsay? I know he gets hurt, but the guy has proven it. He is worth it. He's your best offensive weapon again. And it's not even close. When he's on the field and he's running, there's nobody better than him on that offense. And I know that offensive line is pushing hard, too. They've been playing well. Even Fangio said, hey, the offensive line wasn't actually that bad. But it was, Drew Locke just didn't have a great pocket presence. So, I mean, Pillow Fight Dan, I get where you're coming from. It's played 8 total games. Justin Herbert's going to outrun you, folks. Derek Carr is ahead of you. And Patrick Mahomes has lapped you. So, I get that, I get you. I'm going 4 games here. But I don't know that it's as easy just to say, oh, he's played 8 games. Because after Mahomes played eight games... we knew about him. Justin Herbert, how many games are we in? 6? I'll bet you ask a Chargers fan today and they know who their quarterback is. They know who their franchise quarterback is. Derek Carr is an interesting story. You knew who he was from the beginning. He was pretty good. Then he kind of had a weird time now. Now he's back, but he's one of those interesting guys. I got four games. I got four games that I need to see something. I need to see the Broncos, because they've been put in these moments ever since they missed the Super Bowl or the playoffs for the first time after Super Bowl 50. You keep having these tests and you keep failing them. Well, now you look at the test, Colfax, and you look at the schedule. Chargers at home, at Atlanta, a bad team, at Vegas, a little above average, home against the Dolphins, not great, and a young quarterback, who I'm also sure they know who their quarterback is. In fact, they pulled a guy that was playing pretty well so that they could start their new quarterback regime. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. All Broncos related today. The good is my guy, number 30, Philip Lindsay. I know he got hurt, missed the second half. We need to keep that guy healthy. But he is a blast to watch, and he was busting it yet again.
Hand off, Lindsay. Got a block by Cox, and he's into the secondary and brought down by Ward. Second down and 10. Lindsay is there. Reisner a block. They also get one from Van Etten. There he goes, galloping into the secondary.
There's no doubt when he's running the ball, compared to what Gordon's doing, I mean, it's night and day. Love watching that guy run. I hope he's okay. The bad, how about this? Just the Broncos losing. It was a...
Here's the kickoff. After the 43-yard field goal, it'll be taken out by Byron Pringle. And he finds a seam. He breaks a tackle. The kicker to beat. Look at Pringle galloping free. He will go all the way.
Well, there we go. That was another bad spot. See, a kick return, a pick six. Everything that could go wrong, aside from the defense, went wrong. And the ugly for me, at least for this game, Drew Lock's performance.
Up the middle they come. It's picked off on the play. It's Sorensen to the house. A pick six. Daniel Sorensen.
Rough go for Drew Lock. Dixon texting in. Brady, I hate to say it, but in that meaningless Week 17 game a few years ago when Mahomes came to Denver and won with all the backups playing, Con Harris and Talib all said Mahomes was the real deal after one game. You can usually tell pretty quickly. Locke doesn't seem to have the it factor you need. I mean, there's a lot of guys you can tell. I thought Justin Herbert, 2 weeks ago, and the Chargers were still losing games, you know? He had something, though, where he still had some bad throws, but he also had some wow moments. Drew Lock hasn't had a lot of those wow moments at this stage. McClain saying Lindsay's in the concussion protocol. You got to have him back, and that's the tough part. You know, he, again, is carrying this offense, and he was doing it yesterday. They were running so well, even Gordon at times, they were running so well that I didn't want him to throw the ball at all. I seriously was like, don't even throw it. Because you're running it so well. And then when they threw it, bad things happened. Philip Lindsay was averaging, Colfax, 8.8 yards per carry. That is a first down every two carries, Colfax. It's amazing. Gordon was averaging 4 yards a carry. He had 70 yards on 17 carries. They ran for 177 yards. You run for 130 yards. You're going to do big things. I knew the Chiefs' offense or defense stopping against the run is bad, but you should win games when you run the ball that well. 24 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. I'll read more texts coming back. I want your feedback. I want your thoughts after that game. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is, go based off your gut, don't give me the 8 games thing. What do you see? Because the Chiefs saw it after a game or two. The Chargers are already seeing it. The Broncos aren't seeing it if it's not obvious. So how do you feel? 53% of the Hooligans say no. He's not the franchise quarterback for the Broncos. Go vote at theholeshow.com. Your vote matters. We'll be right back.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance. Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
29 minutes after the hour on the Rocks Liquor. Great liquor store here. It's our go-to at The Whole Show. Check them out. We get us our game, beer, discounts. They got the drive through open. They're a half mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. And we love this place. It's the cleanest liquor store there is. I know that's weird to say that. But you've been to liquor stores where it's like, what? It's so organized, well-lit. I mean, those are legitimate things. Oh, and the selection. You don't have to go in there and there's like three types of wine. You know, they have a great selection of a little bit of everything for you. First Advantage text line 3199631996. Yeah, terrible news with Purcell, with Mike Purcell being out for the season. He was playing very, very well. So injuries continue to be a big thing for this team. Power to Play Sports poll question is up. Is Drew Locke the franchise quarterback? Now, I answered the question, Colfax. I answered it because I'm not giving you an in-between today. I'm telling you to go with your gut. Your gut might be wrong in 4 weeks. I am saying yes. I'm saying yes. I still feel like he's the franchise quarterback for the Broncos. But that could change in 4 weeks. Because I do think that that game, that Chiefs game, he got stuck. Something mentally was telling him to go for the home run. Is that Pat Shurmur? I don't know. Is that eagerness to get out there after being gone for so long? You know, he had that Patriots game and then this game. Just wanting to get back out there and force the issue. I'm not sure. He had a lot of wide open guys. I just can't think, Colfax, even average quarterbacks miss that all the time. I do feel like he was going for the home run. I feel like he was pushing very, very much so. And it led to some bad things. It led to a lot of bad things. The pick six was bad. The deep throws when he had Noah Fant. There was at least three times he had Noah Fant underneath wide open. Fant looked frustrated. So those are all big issues. I'm going to say yes. I still feel like he can be the franchise quarterback. But I'm telling you, the test is here. I have the Broncos winning these next four games. I know the schedule was jacked up and everything, but that's the way I have it breaking down. And so I'm sticking with it. Colfax, I've only missed one game so far. I don't know where you are. I think you missed one or two, maybe? Two?
I think two.
So you're doing okay.
I'm okay.
You're doing okay. I had them beating the Titans, and that's the only one I missed so far. I had them, of course, losing to the Chiefs. Now, the Miami game was supposed to be in between the Pats and the Chiefs game. I have them beating Miami. I have them beating Atlanta, I have them beating Vegas, and I have them beating the Chargers. That would put you at a four-game winning streak, and you'd be 6-4. Suddenly, you are a playoff team. That's the test. Can you win these next four games? Can Drew Lock perform well? Even if you don't win them and something, you know, crazy things happen and you end up losing, and maybe you fizzle from the playoff race, or maybe you win two of them, and you're still kind of two games under 500. Maybe you're still alive somewhat. Drew Lock can still come out of that and maybe test out a B or something. So, but for the most part, I'm looking for wins, and I'm looking for great quarterback play here coming up against teams that are not the Chiefs, that are not the Steelers, that are not the Titans, that are not the Buccaneers. I mean, those are four of your losses. Four of the best teams in the NFL. Steelers and the Titans, that was a great game. Titans almost came back and won that thing. I mean, you're looking at the Steelers that are... Steelers are a great team. They're just playing out of their minds. I mean, they gave up kind of... The Titans kind of came roaring back there on them. But I mean, you lose to the Steelers, Bucks, Chiefs, and I mean, the Titans. All four of those losses, Colfax, are against pretty good teams that should be deep into the playoffs this year. First Advantage text line 31996. So I'm going to say I predict Drew Lock to come out of these next four games and put the Broncos in a position to compete for the playoffs before they play the Saints on 11/29, November 29th. And the Saints, they're an interesting team. You know, we've seen them bleed a little bit here. We saw them lose to the Raiders, but since then they've won three in a row, beating the Panthers, Chargers, and the Lions. All pretty close games. So suddenly, maybe the Saints aren't that terrifying. I'm not saying the Broncos are going on a seven-game winning streak, But these four games, even though they weren't in a row as the original plan was, I have them winning. Failure to do that, and maybe failure to win two of them, you put yourselves in a really tough spot. And yeah, that conversation about Drew Lock really starts to heat up. Dixon, Brady, do you think Lindsey will resign with the Broncos if Elway now gives him a decent offer? Resign with the Broncos if Elway now gives him a decent offer? Or do you think he's pretty mad and will go elsewhere? To be honest with you, I kind of get the feeling that he feels like he's being looked over. You bring in Melvin Gordon, and it's just in your face all day long. And this guy does not look like he wants to be out there. Nothing like what Philip Lindsey is. And I liked Melvin Gordon. Let me be clear about that. I liked following him in college. He does not look like he is even close to the running back, perhaps even the man, that Philip Lindsey is. Eastside Chris, thinking Gordon brought in for insurance, pay the premium, expect help when needed. They find a way to say, sorry, no coverage. That's a good way to look at it. I don't know what they're going to do with Gordon if this DUI thing will give them an out too in the next contract. But I don't mind paying Gordon. What I do mind is that you're not showing the love to Lindsey. And you didn't have to, but you didn't have to pay Chris Harris Jr. last year $3 million on top of his contract. So you showed that guy love. Philip Lindsey wants to be a Bronco, or at least wanted to be. This guy could be a legend in Denver. Make him one. Noob, right now this team doesn't have the mentality for a four-game winning streak, and this is coming from a 40-plus year fan. Yeah, yesterday's a depleting loss, man. I mean, that loss wears you out. B-Rad says you're dreaming. Probably. But that's the pressure that I'm going to put on the Broncos. That's the pressure that I'm going to put on Drew Lock. And the injuries are tough. But offensively, other than Philip Lindsey, the injuries didn't keep Drew Lock from going underneath and picking up 10 for first downs rather than going for 30. The injuries didn't do that. The injuries didn't somehow destroy Drew Lock's pocket awareness yesterday. 36 minutes after the hour, I'm going to jump out of here. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
41 minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. This is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, Mark Knutson, contributor at WoodyPage.com and here, 1310KFKA.com. And Mark, you want to sidestep and not talk Broncos for a little bit? Talk a little Clayton Kershaw? Where do you want to go, my man?
Well, I do want to give you props for two things. One, being there in the snow day, right? You show up at work, that's good.
You know, two, I'm a dedicated, brave soul.
Yeah. Yes, you are. But two, I was, and we'll talk Broncos for a second because I'm not one of those guys that likes to live tweet during the game. It's kind of redundant. Melvin Gordon fumbled. Like 20 on your timeline, 20 Melvin Gordon just fumbled. But you were the only one yesterday I saw on who gets it, who understands that it's not about Philip Lindsey or Melvin Gordon. It's about having both of them performing, because if you don't have both of them performing, your running game is not going to be successful. And we've seen that so far with the Broncos. I mean, unfortunately, they haven't both been right much at all this season at the same time. And so we haven't seen them in tandem. But all these people are like griping on there, oh, why do they have Gordon? Why not Lindsey? We saw why not. Lindsey's I'm sorry, Buff fans, but there's a reason he wasn't drafted. He's 5'8", a buck 90. He's not built to be a durable workhorse running back in the NFL. He's just not. So if you're going to get you've got to have Carroll 12 to 15 times a game, and you've got to have Melvin Gordon carrying it 12 to 15 times a game. That's how you get optimus without all the fumbles, because obviously that's indefensible. I mean, they didn't give him credit for that pitch. They didn't call that a fumble, but that's a fumble in my book. He had three so far, killers.
Yeah.
All killers this year. And so he's got to get her, but you don't get him better by saying just give all the carries to Lindsey, because then you're going to have a broken Philip Lindsey, which is what we got, a broken Philip Lindsey. And how much good does that do anybody? You were the only one that noticed that. The rest of them were all just griping about Gordon playing, and that's just dumb.
Yeah, and
so I give you credit.
And I'm a big Philip Lindsay guy, and I'm the guy. I'll definitely say, hey, Lindsay is a harder runner. But you're right. The two have a different style of running, and sometimes
right.
that throw. I mean, you're a pitcher, Mark. Sometimes you throw
yep.
up a different pitch, and it throws
yep.
a defense off. So I never had a problem with bringing Gordon in, as much as my problem was show Lindsay the love. If it's not now, give him some kind of like insurance that's like, hey, at the end of this year, you're getting paid. And maybe that happened. I don't know. But that was my biggest thing from the beginning. But I agree with you. For the most part, unless your name's Derrick Henry, not one guy
right.
is going to be able to carry the load, because Henry's also built like a, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, he's a monster.
Right. Did you notice the Chiefs have this Solaire, who's this young running back from LSU, who's leading in yardage or whatever. Do you notice who they signed?
Yep.
They just signed Le'Veon Bell. Because you can't have just one guy. You've got to have two guys who are performing. And Melvin Gordon outweighs Philip Lindsay by 25 pounds of muscle. He's built to run in between the tackles more than Lindsay is. I agree with you. Lindsay can be electric when he's healthy. And you've got to keep him healthy. You've got to be able to use him when you need him, but you can't wear him out. And unfortunately, because Gordon didn't play against New England and Lindsay didn't play before that, you really have not been able to see them alternate or be in tandem or anything like that so far. And if Gordon can ever be on, he knows in the high. I know he's a talented running back. He's been an All-Pro twice, or a Pro Bowler twice. He's got two running backs who are Pro Bowlers. You need them both. So I just this griping about Gordon's playing, gripe about all it's fumbling all you want, because that's legit. The gripe about him being on the field is just dumb. And Lindsay will get his money. And Solaire isn't making what getting billed right now. That's how it works in football. It's all about seniority. And Lindsay will get paid when Lindsay gets paid. Assuming he doesn't get broken in half before that.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the even with Melvin Gordon, I think that a lot of people are taking the DUI and all that too, and they're lumping it together with the performance yesterday. And then the fact that Philip Lindsay, I mean, that's just the way he runs. Philip Lindsay is a one cut go guy. Those guys always look like they care more. They all and I do actually think Lindsay loves Denver. I think he loves the city.
Yes.
One-cut guys always look like they run harder. Guys like Melvin Gordon, yeah, they don't look as – it's usually look like they're trying to dance around and find the hole sometimes, but there's a place for that too. And I agree. Yeah. I think there's a place for both. I think they're a terrifying combo if they're both healthy and they could stay on the field. Yeah. Unfortunately, we just haven't got to see that much of it.
Not yet. Let's head down the road, but I think
I think we keep losing Mark there. I get Mark's point, because yesterday the Twitter world was all about Lindsay running harder and wanting it more, and I think Lindsay wants it harder than most, to be honest with you. I think he wants it more so than most NFL players. That guy has been doubted his whole life, so I think that comes with the territory. Gordon's a very gifted running back, a very gifted athlete, and maybe his appreciation isn't there. I still think there's a place for Gordon, but I want to make sure that Lindsay is treated the way that he should be treated, because somebody's going to do it. If he can stay healthy, now that's a big thing for Lindsay, is he's got to stay healthy. Concussions, that's a different, kind of a different type of injury, though. That's not one of those where he just keeps tweaking the same knee, tweaking the same ankle. They're trying to eliminate hits that give concussions, right? So certainly a tough spot there. Pillow fight, Dan. Broncos could – let's read your first text. Let's go there first. No, I haven't seen Locke really pop yet, but what are we supposed to do? Start over? Pick up Matt Ryan or Matt Stafford this season? We have a first-year starter, basically, with his second NFL offensive coordinator. And he's had four offensive coordinators in college. We're on a Browns pace of removing QBs. We need to be patient and provide some consistency for the fifth youngest team in the entire NFL. And I agree with that to an extent. You also say Broncos could easily lose the next three games. If you lose the next three games, you're 2-7. You're in tank territory. So do you start tanking and you go for Trevor Lawrence? You just said Matt Ryan. Let me just tell you this. When's the last time the Broncos won a Super Bowl? We all know that. Super Bowl 50. When's the last time the Broncos were relevant? When they went out and got a free agent quarterback. Could they recapture the same kind of deal with Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford? I don't know. Maybe so. But you're going to learn a lot from Drew Lock. I don't think Pillow Fight Dan, I don't think we're that far off from each other. I'm just saying that these next four games are going to give you a really good idea of who Drew Lock is, assuming he's healthy. This was supposed to be the entire season. We were going to evaluate Lock the entire season. Okay? So we have to do that. Unfortunately, if you lose the next four games or you don't come out favorably on the other side, your playoff hopes are probably shot. Then what do the Broncos do? I mean, is it? It's obviously it's still going to be a, you know, practice run for Drew Lock this season. But this is where I had them. I guess I had them at 3-3, and then the Chiefs game was coming up next. So I originally would have had them at 3-4 before their bye week. So I'll be real honest. This is about where I thought they'd be. I didn't see that Chiefs performance taking hold, or the Broncos-Chiefs performance taking hold quite like that. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. I may be dreaming about these next four games. I get it. I get it. But this is where you are. I mean, you're saying, what else do you do, Pillify Dan? Well, what else do you do now? You got to go win games. You have a shot. You have a shot right now to become relevant in the NFL, and it starts Sunday with the Chargers. Nobody thought you were beating the Chiefs. I mean, you were 9.5-point dogs in most regards. So you take your lumps, you take that loss, you go learn from it, and you come out and you beat an AFC West opponent on Sunday, and you bring yourself back up. That's the only option here, I think, because I know the Broncos are young. But I think they expect more from themselves. 12:50 the time. We'll hear some of Vic Fangio's thoughts coming back. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll also get to the best of the NFL in the second hour. And some crucial games coming up for Denver. A quick glance. CSU should be playing on Thursday against Fresno State. We'll be right back. This is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.
So you come back here tomorrow. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Matt Ray of America's First News. You're listening to The Whole Show with my guy Brady Hull.
A1 Organics. Fall mulch application for trees, beds, and gardens. They also deliver in bulk, so you can pick up at their retail center in Eaton, or they'll load you up. They'll load you up right there for free. That's A1 Organics, 970-454-3492. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Colorado State has a quick turnaround this week. They'll, quick turnaround. They didn't play over the weekend there, Colfax. Fresno State has a quick turnaround. Fresno played host to Hawaii over the weekend, and now the Rams will go take on Fresno State on the road. First game of the season for the Rams because of the COVID-related cancellation. Again, cancellation, no postponement. So seven games for the Rams. Best winning percentage will compete for the title. And they're, again, they're lumping the conference together. It's just one giant conference, six teams on each, now just lumped into 12. And we'll go best win percentage. You got to think more teams are going to maybe have a similar win percent. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Hawaii beat Fresno State 34-19. Kind of a close game in that first half, but Hawaii scored 17 points to Fresno 6 and in the second, and that's kind of what did them in. But what are we going to learn about this Rams team? I mean, we're finally going to get a feel for what Steve Adazio and this offense is all about. You know, it says they're going to be a run by committee, run whoever has the hot hand. And then you hope guys like Dante Wright and Trey McBride, they can pick up where they left off. Not having Warren Jackson on that offense is a huge, huge blow for Colorado State, among other things, and lost a tight end last week, too. All right, second hour coming up. We'll get to a lot more Broncos, Chiefs fallout. The rest of the NFL, Cowboys are an absolute mess. Patriots don't look good anymore. It's amazing how things change from week to week in the NFL. Second hour coming up next.